The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss Mary quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin should conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and they named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Merry Christmas. I'm excited to be with you this morning because this is a sermon I want to preach on Christmas Eve, but I won't. And we'll get to that. But I start this morning by talking about presents. Because all of us are in the gift-giving mood. We're buying gifts, we're receiving gifts, we're wrapping gifts, we're looking forward to opening gifts. Now the reality is most presents that we give to people, they receive a smile, a hug, a nice word of gesture, maybe a thank you card, but they often kind of float into the annals of history. Oh, who gave me that? Or they get put in the shelf somewhere, or in a cupboard, or in the basement, in the junk room. But sometimes you get someone just the right gift. Sometimes you know that this gift is perfect for them. In fact, you are so excited to give it, it takes all of your intestinal fortitude not to give them the gift before Christmas. Last year I had such an experience. A few days before Christmas, Laura Lee said to me, "Sheldon, I had a dream last night that you gave me a diamond ring." And all of a sudden I knew this is a work of the Spirit. Next morning, a day before Christmas, we're making breakfast together. She said, "Sheldon, I had a dream again last night that you gave me a diamond ring." And I'm just ready to, to go and get this gift, to give it to her, like, because we are, this is 13 years of marriage, we are simpatico, two minds as one, you name it. Finally, Christmas morning comes. And yes, there's presents from the kids and from other people there, but I get my little box. Beautifully wrapped. I give it to Laura Lee, I'm so excited. And, she can feel my excitement. She opens it up, and the moment finally hits. It is a book on how to interpret dreams. The moment was beautiful. When it comes to Christmas, there's a lot of expectations. We feel these expectations. We have the expectations around perfect Christmases. They've been sold to us in advertisements. They've been sold to us in songs about gently falling snow, about going for horseback rides or sleigh rides, skating on hockey rinks. And you can do none of this when it's minus 35 outside. But nevertheless, we know what Christmas is supposed to look like. A roaring fireplace, a beautifully decorated tree, happy people, smiling faces, perfect gift-giving, a beautiful day. This is Christmas for us. We internalize these images of Christmas. So much so that when we feel that our Christmas is not looking like this Hollywoodized version of Christmas, we feel somehow that we've let ourselves down, that we've let those around us down. That Christmas is not supposed to be this way. I have two numbers for you. I was reading an article in National Post, actually the Financial Post, this week. My first number, $27,986. This is the average non-mortgage debt that each Canadian carries in Canada. This is credit card debt. This is lines of credit. This is housing lines of credit. About $28,000. You, I, and every adult carries in Canada. $1,931. This is how much that every adult in Canada figures they'll spend this Christmas. $2,000. We're going to spend $2,000. Each one of us. This Christmas. That's the average. If you're saying to yourself, hey, I'm spending way less than that. That just means your neighbor's spending way more than that. Somehow we've got ourselves in the year 2013 when it comes to Christmas. We find ourselves in the position that we're spending money we don't have on things that we don't need. And why is that? Because of expectations. Expectations of what Christmas is supposed to look like. Expectations about what we're supposed to do at Christmas. Expectations about what we're supposed to give at Christmas. People probably ask you, what do you want for Christmas? And you start scratching your head and say, you know what, I don't need anything. I'm so richly blessed that if I needed something, I probably would have bought it already for myself. But no one accepts that answer. Trust me. Well, what do you want? Well, I don't know. Tell me. I demand you tell me what to buy you. And we keep this insanity going in our own lives. We demand, tell me how I can spend money on you. How can I spend money on you? It's insanity. But here we are spending $2,000 a person. We're still paying off last Christmas on our credit cards. And we're demanding people to tell us how to spend more money. How have we got ourselves to that situation? How have we got ourselves spending money we don't have on stuff we don't need? Because of expectations. We get the consumer side of expectations. What about the personal side of expectations? Our families that we might not get along with. What does that look like at Christmas? Do we fear Christmas, worrying that Uncle So-and-so might come? Do we worry about Christmas that we won't be together? Do we worry about Christmas that the food won't be right, etc., etc.? Does Christmas cause us some sort of personal worry that our family isn't perfect, so thus our celebration won't be perfect? We always know Uncle So-and-so drinks too much. I always know my mother-in-law criticizes this about me. I know that I won't have my children this year because they're with their stepfather. Who knows? But how does that make us feel about Christmas? Do we start dreading Christmas, somehow feeling that we are less than perfect, less than worthy, less than honorable, less than we should be? That somehow we have a personal deficiency that keeps us from making Christmas perfect? Guess what happens? We start cursing Christmas. We start cursing Christmas about how much it costs us, about how much time it takes from us. We start cursing having to wrap gifts. We curse having to go to parties. We start cursing our families and the expectations. We just want it done with. The traveling over with, the gift giving over with, the shopping over with, the wrapping over with, the overcrowded malls and parking lots. We want it all over with. I've been with people this Christmas period who have lost their jobs. Their lives have changed. Do you know people say to them? It's horrible to lose your job before Christmas. I would challenge you, it's horrible to lose your job any time of year. Why does losing your job before Christmas make it worse? Because that wrecks your perfect Christmas. How can you enjoy Christmas when you're worried about your future employment? How about a death before Christmas? It's horrible that she died before Christmas. I would say it's horrible when someone you love dies any time of year. Why does dying before Christmas make it worse? Because it wrecks Christmas. Oh no, you're sick. right before Christmas. That's horrible. I would say being sick any time of year is horrible. Why is being sick right before Christmas more horrible? Because it wrecks our expectations of the perfection of Christmas. And you know what? If the Christmas story, the good news that God is Emmanuel, that God is with us, that Jesus saves us from our sin, doesn't help someone who's separated from their family on Christmas, if that good news of the gospel doesn't help someone who's lost their job before Christmas, if that good news doesn't help someone who's mourning the death of a loved one during Christmas, if that good news doesn't comfort us, then we have lost the meaning of Christmas. Christmas has become idealized. So we've turned things around as humans. Like many things, sexuality, wealth, power, we've perverted what God has given us as a gift. This great news of Jesus Christ, that God is Emmanuel, that He has come into the earth to save us from our sins, to show us a new way of being, to redeem us from death and give us new life, we scrap that. And we've made Christmas. And this is true in the church. Not about the event. We've made Christmas about our celebration of the event. And those two things are very different. If Christmas is the event itself, if it is what God has accomplished, then it is perfect unto itself. It has been fulfilled. The Word of God has come into the world. The light has shined into the darkness. The world has seen a new way forward. And we are saved and blessed. Nothing we can do can add to it. And nothing we can do can take away from it. Perfection is not ours to fulfill. For God has already done it. But if the perfection of Christmas is found in our celebration of it, and how important we make it, how much we spend on it, how much we idolize it, then we failed. Because Christmas is only as perfect as us. It's only as perfect as the smile you receive. It's only as perfect as the gift you give or the gift you get. It's only as perfect as the family that joined you around the tree. It's only as perfect as the fire in your fireplace, the eggnog in your cup, and the homemade cookies on your plate. But is that what God's given us in Christmas? Is that as a church, and we are the church, we are the body of Christ, is that what we're called to be? If we find ourselves dealing with stress and pressure, if we find ourselves with anxiety and doubt and worry, and we say, it's Christmas. We're too busy, too many expectations, too many people to visit, too many families to spend it at, etc. My family's not perfect, the kids aren't with me, I'm not feeling well, etc., etc. Well, we blame Christmas. Once I get through this, things will be better. But hold on. Who's put those expectations upon yourself? Has God put them upon yourself? Has Jesus put those expectations upon you? No. The world has put those expectations upon you. And we start cursing that which is good. The first week of January, when the Visa or MasterCard bills come, we might find ourselves cursing Christmas. But God didn't make you buy that stuff. When we're sleeping on an air mattress in some mother-in-law's basement, you might find yourself cursing Christmas. But God didn't put you down there by the furnace. We should be careful what we wrap into Christmas. The world wants us to wrap in consumption, wants us to wrap in parties, wants us to wrap in the perfection of family. That's not what God's done. Look at this Christmas story that we read today. This is a humble story. This is a man. He's engaged to a woman. Doesn't get more simple than that. She's pregnant. He knows it's not his. He's thinking of quietly excusing her. Send her off to live with an aunt in a different town, maybe. An angel comes to Joseph and says, no. Mary has not betrayed you. She's not cheated on you. This is a child of God that she's going to give birth for. This will be a great trial. This will be a great child. They will call him Jesus. He will save people from their sins. Emmanuel, God with us. No, Joseph, you marry her. So Joseph marries her. And Jesus is born. This is the story. Simple. Humble. It's our story. It's the Christmas story. We've taken that which is simple and that which is humble, and we've created a whole world around it. A whole world of expectations. A whole world of things that grind us down. Things that steal from our faith. Things that steal from our energy. Things that steal from our joy. And as we're reminded in the fourth Sunday of Advent, as we light that last candle, things that steal from our peace. And if that's not the devil at work, I don't know what is. Christmas is perfected not in our celebration. Christmas is perfected because it's Christmas. Because it's the birth of Christ. There's no need for us to curse it, to lament it, to begrudge it, to fear it. Whether you celebrate Christmas alone, whether you celebrate Christmas in mourning, whether you celebrate Christmas with your family, whether you celebrate Christmas at your in-laws, whether you celebrate Christmas being sick or in the hospital, Christmas is perfect. And that's a mind change. It's a cognitive change. Because once we see perfection in God, then we start to find perfection in our lives. Then we start to experience the peace that passes under all understanding. Then we start to experience love in our relationships. We do less grumbling and more smiling. Because it's been completed for us. I started today's sermon by saying, you know, this is just, I'm going to say this on Christmas Eve. I won't. You know why? Unlike this morning, thanks be to God for each of you here today. Church will be full Christmas Eve. Thanks be to God for that. You'll see a lot of people Christmas Eve that you don't see all year. They come to church. They come to church expecting something. It's part of their tradition. It's part of their Christmas Eve celebration. It's part of making Christmas perfect. But they come to church expecting different things. I've learned this over the years. I imagine any retailer or shop owner will tell you the customers that come in their door come expecting different things. Some people come expecting great service. Some people come expecting low prices. People that come to church Christmas Eve expect something. They expect Christmas Eve to look a certain way. Some people want Christmas Eve service to look just like they experienced it as a child in 1953. They want us to sing the hymns in German. Some people come to Christmas Eve. And they come, and they want to experience a peaceful hour. Familiar songs, a familiar story, a familiar setting. They might come to church once a year, but they know exactly what that once a year looks like. They know the hymns that we're going to sing, they know the scripture that we're going to read, and they have a pretty good sense what the sermon's going to entail. No one's getting a fire and brimstone sermon Christmas Eve. It's peace, goodwill, and joy to all. Some people come to church Christmas Eve looking for a spiritual experience. They long to experience Christ. They come hoping that they'll experience the power of light overcoming darkness. But I know that it's part of the Christmas event. It's part of the expectation. And people expect Christmas to look a certain way. And regardless of what brings people to the door, I feel the great need, the great pressure, I would even say the great worry and anxiety if I'm being truthful. And as we confess before church starts, if the truth is to be in me, to meet people's expectations. To give them that which they are looking for. The event that continues them on to their perfect Christmas. The song should be just so. The reading should be just so. The sermon should be just also. And we can monkey around the margins a little bit, do a few things in different orders, but at the end of the day, this is what Christmas looks like. I'm not sure what that means, and the church is beholden to that too. But I know the pressure, and I know the anxiety that you're living with, because I live with it too. And I hear today's reading from the Gospel, and it breaks into my life, and it tells me Christmas is perfect because it's Christmas. Yeah. You know what? If I get the wrong gift and give a book instead of a diamond ring, Christmas should still be perfect. If I give a stinker of a sermon on December 24th, and the odds are high that might happen, just being honest, Christmas is still perfect. If the piano breaks and Kathy can't play it, well, or Kathy, there she is, Christmas is still perfect. If you're not celebrating with your children, Christmas is still perfect. If you can't afford to buy everyone the gifts you think they want, Christmas is still perfect. If you burn all your baking, if the turkey's only half cooked, and everyone gets E. coli poisoning, you're on your own. No! Christmas is still perfect. Because God has perfected it. The perfection of Christmas. And please leave here with this, because I'm leaving here with it. This is the good news for me. Maybe it is for you. The perfection of Christmas is not found in our celebration. It is found in what God has already accomplished. And nothing we do will make it more perfect, and nothing we do will make it less perfect. We cannot take away from it, and we cannot add to it. And I would say to think that you can is sinful, because it puts yourself in front of God. It says, God, I can make Christmas even better than you. Or, I can destroy this great miracle you've given us. And we can't do that. And that is the freedom of faith. If your family doesn't look like the one on television, if your gifts don't match up to some sort of expected reality, if your uncle drinks too much, if the turkey's not cooked, if you're sleeping on an air mattress by the furnace, smile and know that your Christmas is perfect. Amen.